Bill Belichick, how you doing today?
Glenn, good. Michael, Steve, doing good.
Coach.
Hey, Bill. Nice win yesterday. Nice balanced attack. This is 2 weeks in a row now where you've run the ball effectively. We've been talking a little bit about this. You're seeing a lot of nickel. You're seeing a lot of dime. Is this something that we're probably going to see a lot more, especially if teams defend you this way?
Well, that's really hard to say. We make up our game plan every week based on what we think we're going to get from our opponents, and sometimes we have to adjust that during the game. So our philosophy really is to stick with whatever's working and try to move the ball and score points. If that's running, throwing, doesn't really matter. Just as long as we, our job on offense is to move the ball and score points. So however we can do that, that's what we're going to try to do.
But it's a matter of teams trying to exploit other teams. I would think if you were looking at your team from the other side, if you're that well-balanced, it makes it very difficult to try to exploit that team. Is that fair to say?
Well, I think the key thing for us is hopefully whatever we need to do, we'll be able to do. So if we need to throw it, hopefully we can throw it. If we need to run it, or if that's what looks like the best opportunity, then we'd be able to run it inside or outside or throw it to our tight ends or our receivers or our back. Whatever the opportunities are, hopefully we'll be able to get to those plays and be successful with them.
We asked you last week how similar the Denver offense is to the Indianapolis offense that Peyton Manning ran. You said about 99%. How about Peyton Manning?
I think he was off by a percent.
Yeah, I was going to say. How about Peyton Manning when we last saw him in 2010 versus Peyton Manning in 2012? To me, it looks like the same guy from your analysis. Has there been much drop-off, much change in
Peyton Manning? No, he looks like the same player to me. As I said, he does everything well. And thought he threw and made good decisions and was accurate yesterday.
Now, this is because it's such a similar offense to what he did with the Colts, and part of your preparation for this game, do you just focus on the preseason, the Denver preseason, and the four games they had previous, or do you actually look at that and what he did with Indianapolis to tell your team, okay, this is the kind of stuff you should be looking for?
Oh, no, we definitely watched the Colts games. No, absolutely. Our game with them in 10 and even a little bit last year, even though it wasn't as different quarterback, but it was still more of our guys. 9, 10, 11, all three of those games, sure.
So do you even go as far as saying, okay, Demaryius Thomas is Reggie Wayne or Marvin Harrison. This guy is Dallas Clark. Do you get into detail like that, or you just say, as a big picture concept, this is what you should expect on offense?
Yeah, I'd say it's more of a big, it's more of a concept thing. And I would say that's one of the things that was unique about Denver is that those players, Demaryius Thomas isn't Reggie Wayne, and they didn't really have a Dallas Clark. Or they have, Stokely was Stokely, but they didn't quite have the skill sets were different. They have Decker instead of Reggie Wayne or Garcon, and Decker and Thomas are both good, and so they're just different style players.
Well, he said Peyton Manning had mentioned the same thing, that that his research was less about the two games that you played last year than about how you had defended him in Indianapolis. So it goes both ways. He was thinking the exact same thing. How much you actually going to get from the two games you played him last year, as opposed to what Peyton Manning brought to the table this year.
Right, and I think that just, again, and I'm sure they probably did the same thing defensively as, with how we played how somebody else played us and how they played us and what the matchups are, I think, are more important than what the, how we played another team. Not that you can't get some ideas from that, but when you're really familiar with a team, you kind of watch them against you and what you do.
So how much of that game plan yesterday was what you planned for, and how much of it was adjustments along the way offensively?
Our offense?
Yeah.
Well, we had an idea of things going into the game. We started with those, and then as the game went on, we saw what Denver was doing, and so we adapted some things, and based on what we were seeing from them, they were moving some guys around. They moved Dumrill and Miller around, so we weren't always sure exactly where they were going to be, but the fact that they were moving them was, it wasn't like they were just sitting them, in the same spot on every play. They were mixing in some different personnel groups. They came in there with their 7 defensive back package a little bit, and, we caught, that's the play that we hit Woodhead on the run, 3rd and 17 or whatever it was, and then we kept them in that group, and ran it a couple more times. And so just things like that. Some of it's a little bit of a feel during the game of how the subs are going or how successful we are doing certain things. But we go into the game plan thinking that there's a possibility that, okay, if they're in nickel, we're going to think about this. If we're in dime, we're going to favor more of that, whatever it happens to be.
I know you brought this up last week because McCourty made some big plays, and people were on him 2 weeks ago because there were some plays that that slipped through. What I want to ask you about is the pass interference calls, and McCourty doesn't look like he's turning his head back to look at the ball. Do you believe that that's one reason that a lot of times the officials will throw that flag because you're not looking back at the ball?
Well, what the rule is if you're looking at the ball and there's contact, then it's not a foul unless you're grabbing the guy or, you know, obviously flagrantly doing something. But if you look at the ball and there's contact, it's not a foul. If you're not looking at the ball and there is contact, then it is a foul. So the rule is pretty cut and dry. So
this seems to have happened a few times with him. Is that something? Because he seems like he's stride for stride with his guy. He's hip to hip with him, and then he just doesn't churn on it. And there have been some negative plays there. Is that something he has to do right now, is churn on that ball, Bill?
Well, I mean, you got to be careful. It's fine if the ball's in the air and you turn. That's great. But if the ball's not in the air and you turn, and then the receiver, when he sees you turn, he goes the other direction on the covers, then you don't have the guy covered. So, I mean, it's a technique thing. And there are different situations that the right thing to do sometimes is to look for the ball, and sometimes it isn't to look for
how
the
do
ball.
How do you guys – excuse me. How do you guys teach it?
Well, there's a lot of different situations.
Yeah.
And so that's – you know, we talk about those. So it isn't about looking or not looking for the ball. It's if you don't look at the ball, then you have to play the receiver's hands and knock the ball out when the receiver tries to catch it. If you're looking at the ball, then you play the ball. Hopefully the ball's in the air when you look at it, because if you're looking at it and the ball's not in the air, then a good receiver will just uncover. As soon as he sees you turn your back on him, then he goes the other direction. So
we don't have the luxury of the coaches' films. How is McCourty grading out overall this year?
I think Devin's had a lot of – I thought he had a good game yesterday. I thought he played well. He tackled well. Had some good coverage plays. And like any corner, you know, there's a couple plays that probably would like to have back. But, I mean, we all have those.
That's that cornerback position that he plays is to the offense's right. Usually your best receiver is out there. Is that a factor in some of the things that's going on with him? I mean, most quarterbacks like to attack the right side.
Right. I don't know. You'd have to ask those quarterbacks. I'm not sure. But, sure, most right-handed quarterbacks throw more to their right than to their left. But, I mean, we see it to both sides.
Right.
You guys had a beautiful 16-play drive yesterday right before halftime and had great pace. And you started at your 7, and you're going all the way down the field. Then at the end, I don't know what happened in that final minute. Was there a miscommunication there? There wasn't a throw toward the end zone, and you settled for a field goal and put you up 17-7. But the feeling was, with the pace of that drive, that you'd at least have an attempt at the end zone and maybe even a touchdown. What happened there in that final minute where you didn't even get a pass in the end zone?
Well, the ball was inside the 1 yard line. We just unfortunately weren't able to get it in.
So, but it wasn't a miscommunication or anything, because it was inside the 1. You ran it, and then you had to, I think it was about 8 seconds left, you had to call a timeout and then kick the field goal.
Well, it was fourth down.
Right. I was saying, so on second down, you run it. On third down, not even a quick pass to try to take advantage of, I mean, because if you ran it there and didn't get it in, you're forced to kick the field goal as opposed to at least taking a shot.
Well, I mean, you know, you can second guess every call that doesn't work. That's sure great if that's what you want to do. And ball's inside the 1 yard line. So, I mean, I don't think running the ball from inside the 1 yard line is necessarily a bad thing to do. It didn't work out. So, of course, when it doesn't work out, then we can always pick another play to call. I mean, I don't think the way we were running the ball yesterday, running the ball from inside the 1 yard line is, you know, the worst thing we could have done. But
89 plays yesterday. You just don't see that. 89 plays. Do you ever worry, ever concerned with the up-tempo game that you're playing? Of course, both teams played up-tempo yesterday, especially with the running game and the up-tempo, that more mistakes will be made in an up-tempo game. Is that fair to say that because you're going at such a quick pace, it seems to be working out great to this point. But is that ever a fear?
Well, I think if you're on a no-huddle offense, you're trying to gain some advantage by doing it. So if you feel like you're gaining an advantage, then that's the reason why you do it. If you feel like you're not gaining an advantage and there's an advantage to huddling and not doing it that way, then you do it that way.
I guess you've got to have really well-conditioned team to be able to pull that off, correct? I think that's probably safe to say.
Well, again, I think the bottom line is you're trying to find some advantage. So if whatever that advantage is, whatever it happens to be, if you feel you're gaining that advantage, then it makes sense to do it. Mm-hmm. If you feel like you're doing something and you look at it and say, okay, well, what are we really getting out of this? How's this helping us? Well, it really isn't. Well, then what's the point?
Welker was targeted 15 times yesterday, had 13 catches. He said in an interview after the game that it's good to stick it to Bill. He said it was a joke. I'm wondering if you heard the joke and if you thought it was funny.
Well, I think Wes played really well yesterday, and happy that things turned out the way they did. And any conversations that I have with Wes will be between me and Wes.
You don't think he has a future as a comedian, though?
He has a good sense of humor.
Back to that hurry-up, that up-tempo offense. Is that strictly a home field offense? Can you pull that off on the road, especially in light of you going to Seattle and they're notorious for the crowd noise there? Can you still pull that up-tempo off in an away game?
Well, we did almost the whole Baltimore game.
Yeah, it's a loud place, too.
It was loud.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, last week you had brought up 4th-and-2 from a few years ago in Indianapolis. You had a situation of 4th-and-5. Late in the game, an opportunity to probably kind of seal the game. It happens to be Peyton Manning again. How much of that was you didn't want to put Peyton back on the field versus you had a play that you felt, based on what you were looking at here, that was going to work for you?
Well, it really didn't have anything to do with Peyton Manning. It was the field position we were in. It would have been a long field goal or a short punt. And at 4th-and-4, 4th-and-5, whatever it was, felt like we had a play we could pick that up on. I mean, it didn't work out, so that isn't what we wanted to happen on the play. But rather than punt it or kick a field goal in that situation, we felt like going for it was – I felt like that was the better decision. But it didn't work out, so.
Yeah, it works out worse because of the fumble and, the ball.
Well, I mean, that's extra, right. Losing 20 yards on the play and all that is – That really wasn't what we had intended to do on that play.
So the idea basically was that an incomplete pass is you're only giving the ball at the 37-yard line, and you're just one of those things where you might as well give it a shot. And a punt, you gain 17 yards or even 27 yards, what's the difference there?
You still got to protect for the punter, you got to protect for the kicker and all that. I mean, again, it's a play that you have to execute. Should be okay, but there are things that could go wrong there as well. So, if it had been 4th-and-15, that would have been a different story.
Yep.
If it had been a little closer or a little further away, that might have changed the decision too. But it was where it was, and so I did what I thought was best, but it didn't work out.
It was a strange day. I mean, you actually picked up a 3rd-and-17 on the ground, which I don't think. That probably wasn't the design of the play either from Danny Woodhead to run the ball and get a first in that situation.
You never know how much you're going to gain on a play like that. It's like throwing a screen pass. But they had a lot of DBs in the game. They were all playing deep. And once you clear the line of scrimmage, then you hope you're back and the guys who are blocking can get the receiver or runner in space and see what happens.
I want to ask you about Russell Wilson, but before I do so, is it just coincidence that we have five, maybe six young first-year quarterbacks that are having some success out there in the National Football League this year? Or, Bill, is it that the college game has changed a little bit, and though the pro game is a lot quicker than the college game, that we're seeing some offenses that are more like the pro game, and so there's less of a transition from the college to the pro game, because we're really seeing a lot of young kids come in there and have some success. I mean, Andrew Luck was tremendous yesterday in that game against a very good football team.
Well, I think there are a lot of differences between the college game and the pro game. I mean, so whatever one you want to compare it to, I think the defenses and the what I think what players see at this level and what they see at the college level are quite a bit different.
Is this just a good lot of players? Is that what it is?
I don't know. Maybe it is. But I don't think it's because they see the same thing at the college level that they step into the pro level, and there's not a big learning curve. I think there is a big learning curve. But those guys that have been successful have obviously been able to make that transition. So I think that you have to give them a lot of credit. But I don't see a, you know, that big of a carryover from college to the NFL at that position.
What do you see in Wilson?
A winner. He makes good decisions. He is very athletic, and he's got a they do a great job running the ball, and they have a play action game that goes with it. Play action, bootlegs, moving pocket plays, things like that. And he can hurt you with his arm and his legs.
Vince Wilfork talked earlier about the physical nature of the defense, and that's was causing these fumbles. These weren't fluke fumbles. Do you see that when you're watching the breakdowns of the films? You see the physical nature of your defense causing those turnovers, or it's just individual strips and plays that you're seeing?
Well, I think it's a combination of both, Steve. Last week, I think a couple of the contact plays there by Spikes definitely jarred the ball loose. Yesterday, Nikovic had the hit on Manning and stripped the ball out kind of at the same time. He made a good play on the McGahee fumble by coming in from the side and just really basically tackling the ball. And then and Sterling was alert to punch the ball out on Thomas after the catch. Same thing happened to Thomas last week in the Oakland game on the slip screen, except he really didn't get hit. He was just kind of, I think, trying to change hands with the ball and dropped it. But the same kind of thing. But again, that's what defensive players do. As you go in to make the tackle, if you see that ball is not secure by the runner or receiver, whoever's got it, kind of that red light goes off in your mind and says, okay, am I going to make the tackle or am I going to knock the ball out? And if you can knock the ball out, then or do it as part of the tackle, then that's really the play to make. I think that's what we try to do, make our players aware of that situation where you're going in to make the tackle, and that's your number one job. But if in doing so you see the ball exposed or you can put pressure on the ball, then put pressure on it.
Is your defense more physical than in years past so far?
I don't know. I mean, that's a hard thing to measure. I mean, we try to be physical. Yeah. Say, you know, we've done some things that certainly add up with physical football. Playing the running game, I mean, that's certainly a physical type play. So causing turnovers, I think there's some correlation between being physical and knocking the ball out. So I don't know, maybe.
What are the challenges going up against a very good Seahawks defense? They have not given up a lot of yards on the ground. What challenges do you have here?
Everything. They're really good on defense. They're physical. Red Bryant, Mabane, those guys are really hard to block. Clemens, their linebackers are fast. Their defensive backs are big, and they tackle well. So they force the run well. So you got to block all the you got to block all of them. Thomas, Chancellor, two very active, fast safeties. So they're strong all the way across the board. They're a good ball stripping team. They cause a lot of turnovers. They're long. They intercept or get their hands on a lot of balls. Thomas is very instinctive back there. They're a good pass rushing team. Clemens is an excellent pass rusher. And Irvin, I've got Jones. The kid was at Tennessee last year, does a good job of Baines in there. So they do a good amount of blitzing. I mean, Pete's really put together a good defensive football team. They're fast. They're active. They're hard to run against. They're hard to throw against, and they turn the ball over. They're really playing well. They have a lot of good players. They're young, but they're good. And they're very good in the kicking game. They cover kicks well. They return them well, of course, with Leon Washington. They block them with Red Bryant. They block punts. They block field goals. So they're very good, very good, very impressed watching them.